Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. $100,000 and a road to rap fame are on the line with One Shot. BET Food Talent Search underway next Tuesday. Executive producer Mike Smith joins me next from Charlotte, North Carolina. As for this Tuesday, Lionsgate unleashes a multi-talented creator on smart television sets, TV-making devices, and video on demand. The talent under the spotlight is Moses Verneau, and his creation is Brooklyn-based drama Money and Violence. It's one of the most unique TV situations you will learn about this year, and Verneau will bring it on later this hour. Also ahead, that's all for the nightly show with Larry Wilmore. We'll tell you why, Twitter's Apple TV Play, 5 Ways Remembered, and our classic trivia question of the week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this hour. A good Monday afternoon to you, and welcome to the program All About Television. 90 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, fifth day of a heat wave, which we hope we will break for good today. We are in excessive heat alert until 10 o'clock tonight. So if you're in New York or any area up and down the East Coast that is dealing with excessive heat or an excessive heat index, please, if you go out, take it easy. Take in extra time. Make sure you check in on your loved ones. Drink fluids as much as you can. And stay with us here on Blog Talk Radio. We will keep you company. We have some wonderful guests coming your way over the next hour, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. All you have to do, give us a ring and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe right here on Blog Talk Radio. And we have a chat room available for you as well. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's Simon Apple 04 by name, so use the phone or the room. Either way, we can. Believe it or not, we already have a phone call, and we will take it as soon as we get our guest on the air. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Mike Smith from One Shot joins us live from Charlotte after these news notes. The Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore will say good nightly for good Thursday. Comedy Central canceled the late night series this morning after 2 seasons. Low ratings were the cause, network management declared. Starting Monday at midnight with Chris Hardwick, we'll move into Nightly's 11:30 p.m. time period on a temporary basis. The midnight half hour will be filled for now by primetime reruns. Some 100 people associated with the Nightly Show will be laid off. Wilmore will now focus on executive producing Insecure, Israel's HBO comedy that debuts this fall. Twitter is cooking up a sports-oriented Apple TV application, so declared the New York Times report out this morning. According to this report, the app will feature game coverage, tweets from users, and other material. Twitter recently obtained Thursday Night Football streaming rights from the National Football League, and has similar arrangements with Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League, and the National Basketball Association. No comments yet from either Twitter or Apple. In an unrelated development, Netflix will keep Last Chance U, its acclaimed documentary series on junior college football, in play for a second season next summer. Season 1 launched on July 29th. And Feibrich Finkel, the Yiddish theater star whose role as lawyer Douglas Wambaugh on Picket Fences earned an Emmy Award for him in 1994, passed away Sunday here in New York. He was 93 and had heart problems recently, according to family members. Finkel graduated from commercials to supporting roles in guest performances in episodic TV over the decades. In addition to Picket Fences on CBS, Finkel co-starred on Boston Public, the school-centric drama playing 5 seasons on Fox, ending in 2005. Once again, Feibrich Finkel dead at the age of 93. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Charlotte, North Carolina, the executive producer and judge on the new BET series, One Note, premiering a week from tomorrow, Mike Smith. Mike, great to have you aboard.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate you promoting One Shot.
You're very welcome. And we have a phone call coming away shortly. But first, tell us how long it took to get this series on the air.
Oh, wow. So it took us almost 2 years to the day. 2 years ago, my wife Erica and I actually went out to L.A. To meet with King Crooked, because I've actually done a bunch of songs with him. And he pitched his idea for this TV show to us. My wife and I absolutely loved it. And we proceeded to go ahead and get this thing rolling. We put up the money. He pulled in Sway Calloway, legendary Sway in tech. And then collectively we brought in T.I. and DJ Khaled and RZA and all these guys. And, you know, originally it was going to be an online show, but the groundswell was so big for this TV show, we ended up deciding to go to a network, and we're fortunate enough to have BET pick it up, and now they're putting it out there Tuesday next week, August 23rd at 10 p.m.
And we should point out that Sway, of course, for many years, a wonderful MTV DJ, saw him at all sorts of events, including the Video Music Awards, and it's so good to have him back on the tube. By the way, we have 850 in our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, so if you have a question or comment, you can use that room, or you can ring us here at 646-652-2906. And in fact, Mike, we do have a call, so we're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Cool. Telephone. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Hello.
Yes, hi, you're on the air. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm Maddie. I'm calling from Nashville.
Bobby, Simon Applebaum, I'm here with you, and you're on the line with Mike Smith from One Shot. Go ahead.
Oh, my God, Mike, I love your music so much. Green Eyed Girl is my favorite song.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
I just wanted to know how, like, you got involved in One Shot to begin with.
Oh, well, you know, I appreciate you referring to that. I'm actually also, I've got an album out right now in a country as well called Always You and Me. But I'm a singer, songwriter, and a producer, and I've actually ended up doing a lot of work with some major hip-hop artists. And, you know, just to name a few, I've worked with Twista, I've worked with Kool G Rap, King Crooked, to name a few. And just through those relationships of me writing songs and producing with them, I ended up having the good fortune of Crooked pitching his TV show idea to me, and we just ran with it from there, because I'm, outside of being a musician and producer and stuff, I'm also a businessman who owns businesses in multiple industries. So he felt like I was the right person to help pull this together, being not only a musician but also a businessman, so I would understand it from both angles.
That's so awesome. Thank you.
And of course. Thanks for calling.
Of course.
Bobby, thank you for calling from Nashville. All the best to our friends down there. Take care. Bobby from Nashville calling us live right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Mike, how many aspirants are in this competition, and where do they all come from?
How many what?
How many people are involved in this? How many competitors do we have, and where do they all come from?
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so basically we went to four different cities, and we ended up having over 20,000 people audition. So we went to Charlotte, we went to Atlanta, we went to Miami, and we went to Chicago. And basically what happened was that we broke it down by having in each city, we would go from the thousands that actually showed up on the first day of auditions, and we would whittle them down to a final six who ended up performing live in front of myself, King Crooked, King Tech with Sway as the host, and then a celebrity judge from that city. So, for example, we had RZA as the celebrity judge with us in Charlotte. We had T.I. and DJ Drama as the judges with us in Atlanta. We had DJ Khaled in Miami, and in Chicago we had Twista and Tech N9ne. So we would basically have these final six. They had to write a song. They had to take one of our beats and then write a song over it the night before. They would perform live, and then Crook, Tech, and myself went back to New York, and we would deliberate and decide of that who was the final two from each city to be semifinalists to come to New York.
Along the way, Mike, did any of the contestants get any mentoring, any tips in terms of how to deal with the various challenges you put before them?
Absolutely. For example, you know, I mean, you can't ask for a more incredible mentor than RZA. You know, in the Charlotte location, I mean, he was there all weekend with the kids. They were actually helping them go through the beats and helping them kind of project what they need to do. They also got to talk with Crook. They talked with myself. You know, from our perspective, this is all about giving back to the culture, trying to help uplift somebody and give hope and give an opportunity where it hasn't been there so far. I mean, you've had American Idol, you've had The Voice, you've had all these big contests focused on pop music, you know, rock, whatever it is. Nobody has focused on hip hop. There's never been a show like this. So that is a major component for us, is that we want to give back and help everybody have an opportunity and learn the tools that they can actually succeed in this.
Singer-songwriter Mike Smith is one of the executive producers and also one of the judges on One Shot. It's the new talent competition, rap hip-hop oriented on BET. It premieres next Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And Mike joins us live this half hour from Charlotte, North Carolina, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appleband, I'm with you live from New York. Happy you're aboard on this Monday afternoon for the two shows this week. And if you have a question or comment for Mike or for our other guests coming in our second half hour, you give us a call. The number you use is 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, get 850 in the room. We have a 90-minute edition coming your way on Friday at a special time, earlier than normal, so take note of the time. It's noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. That's noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. And we'll kick it off showcasing a new series on NBC where two iconic TV people, namely William Shatner and Henry Winkler, and two iconic sports people, namely Terry Bradshaw and George Foreman, all get together for an unforgettable trip. It's called Better Late Than Never. It premieres next week on NBC, and we've got the executive producer off the bat, Jason Ehrlich. And then we'll have the executive producer of a show that premiered last night on the Hallmark Channel, the drama Chesapeake Shores. John Tinker, yes, he's part of the popular Tinker family of people, such as Mark, and of course, Red Tinker, the former head of NTM, Mary Tyler Moore's production company, and NBC. Yes, that John Tinker, he will be with us. And also, we will have a long-awaited exclusive interview every year with the head of the New York Television Festival, Terrence Gray, which later this week will announce the people involved with its annual independent pilot competition. We'll have the latest from Terrence Friday. Remember the time, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, all coming your way, 90 minutes worth, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. What do you want to showcase about rap and about hip-hop in this series, Mike, that a lot of people either are unaware about or have a wrong impression about?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, especially the mainstream America, there's this connotation with rap and hip-hop that there's, you know, that it's violent, that it's kind of dark, and that it's not necessarily something that's uplifting for the culture. And honestly, you couldn't see anything but opposite that from our TV show. Everybody that came out, for example, here's a great example in Chicago. I mean, you had rival gangs actually in line with each other coming into one shot. We had like 5,000-6,000 people in line in a blizzard in Chicago. And these were all kids from different parts of different neighborhoods who are usually, you know, in, kind of adversaries with one another, all in line with each other, kind of putting those differences aside because they wanted to come in and take their shot at actually having fame. So I think from that perspective, you can see that. You can see that there is a lot of people who, you know, have a lot of struggle and have to overcome a lot of adversity to actually chase their dream, especially in hip-hop. We had one woman who actually sold her furniture to get a train ticket to come from L.A. to the Chicago audition. We've had, on and on and on. There are so many different stories like that. It really, for me, it was very moving to be a part of it.
Guess what, Mike? We have another call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead. You're
Hello.
On the air.
Hello. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi there. My name's Professor Joseph Loomp, and I'm a college professor at Full Sail University. Me and my class, we love to listen to your show together, and I don't want to freak you out, but they're actually here with me right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Say hi, class.
Well, great.
Well,
here you go.
Yeah,
right,
they're all here.
On our phone line. Thank you all for coming on. Okay, go ahead with your question or comment for Mike.
Would you be so kind as to answer a few questions for the class right now?
Of course.
Oh, that's so great. So tell me, what's your broadcasting philosophy?
My broadcasting philosophy, what in regards to what?
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on the question?
Mike, in terms of, let's say, you know, rap as a medium, you know, because you're dealing with rap, you're dealing with hip hop, it's a communication medium. How do you approach it as that?
I mean, I guess from our perspective, my broadcasting philosophy, if you're talking about what was our approach in order to get this show on the air and to actually maximize an audience, from my perspective, I'm looking at this as an opportunity because I saw a hole in the marketplace. where, like I was saying before, with American Idol, with The Voice and whatnot, there's been a lot of these competition shows for other mediums, other genres, but there was a gaping hole for the urban community. So from my perspective...
Okay, now, class, listen up. Be attentive and respectful. This is really going to help you learn what not to do.
Okay, keep going, Mike. You're making an impression, I promise you.
Okay, cool. So from my perspective, what I'm looking at is that from a business perspective, we were looking at, you know, there was a hole in the marketplace for, urban television from a competition standpoint. You know, you had American Idol, you had The Voice. There was nothing for the hip-hop community or the urban community. So to me, that from a business, you know, when you see a hole in a business marketplace, you jump on it. You go for it because there's already, you know, proof that this model works, but there's a neglected marketplace. That's number one. Makes sense, right?
Now tell me, do you have any tips on microphone technique?
Oh, completely. Completely. So from a microphone technique standpoint, I mean, purely if you're talking about rap and hip-hop, the biggest thing I can tell you is do not cup the mic. Make sure that your hand is pulled back and actually not covering. I know it sounds simplistic, but it's real. Because if you're trying to rap and you're actually trying to get across what you're saying, when people cup the mic, it completely distorts it and you can't understand a word that they're saying.
Uh-huh.
So if you're talking about from a recording standpoint in a studio, I mean, that could be like a 2-hour lesson on what you need to do as far as microphones are concerned.
Of course, that was a trick question.
Professor, before you ask another question, I'll give you a chance, and we have another person calling the line. Just to dovetail into Mike just said.
I think I have a student here who would like to ask
you
a question.
What separates the people who really communicate what they want to say through rap and hip-hop from those who don't? What is, like, the big advantage they have in terms of how they speak, in terms of how they communicate, in terms of how they use the song and the beat?
Okay, well, so from our perspective on the TV show, we were not looking for somebody who was a battle rapper. So we did not want to have somebody out there that could just slay you down with lyrics. We wanted somebody that actually could create and cultivate a song that actually has appeal across a mass audience. So from our perspective on the TV show, we were looking for somebody who could do several things. First off, that their lyrics told a compelling story that not only moved you and touched your soul, but, you know, also took a unique perspective. We were looking for somebody who was actually able to rap, in a way that was like, you know, not necessarily like a lot of the artists today, but actually a little bit more, they had the skills. Let's put it that way. I don't want to diss anybody that's out there today. I'm saying that they, you know, somebody that had some of the skills that you've seen in the last 20 years. And then third, they're actually able to incorporate a hook into their song so that it actually had something that people could remember and then it was catchy and then it was something that we could market and promote.
Mike, we have another call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on to Marvie Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, go ahead. You're on the air. Okay, that person has dropped. So if the person wants to call back, please do so. It's 646-652-2906. Or you can use our chat room, SimonApple048. We welcome our good friend Rip Red from Philadelphia already in the room. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we will hear you. As I said, we got Mike Smith from the new BET series One Shot. It's the new rap hip-hop talent competition. It premieres 1 week from tomorrow. That's Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. And next Monday on Tomorrow Be Told Live, we will have an exclusive interview with one of the key executive producers of the long-awaited Discovery Channel miniseries Harley and the Davidsons. It premieres right after Labor Day weekend. John Goldwyn will join us. Also, if you think toucans are just a symbol of Kellogg's Fruit Loops, you may have another thing coming, and you may think totally different after you see an Animal Planet documentary coming up next week called Toucan Nation. We've got the director, Paula Heredia. It's all coming up next Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Mike, has the finale in New York been taped or filmed yet?
It has indeed. We actually just wrapped filming on Friday.
And without giving away, like, who won, et cetera, what was it like to bring all these finalists together for one last shot of fame?
Oh man, I'll tell you, it was insane. I mean, because this has been such a long road for us the last 2 years getting this thing off the ground, to see it come to a finale and know that we were able to get such an enormous platform for all of these contestants through BET. For me it was kind of overwhelming sitting there at the judge's chair for the finale, seeing it, you know, come down to a final three and watching these guys give it their all, and they were unbelievable. They definitely stepped up to the challenge, and you know, watching the artists grow from that first audition all the way to the finale. I mean, when you watch the TV show, you know, starting next week, Tuesday at 10 p.m. on BET, you're going to see what I'm saying. There's a transformation that happens over all of these contestants from the minute they did their first audition until the finale. It's really a mind-blowing thing.
All right, Mike, let's take this call. Let's hear what happens. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Eric. I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
Eric, it's wonderful to have you on the program, and you're on with Mike Smith of One Shot. Go right ahead.
Hey, man, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hey, so I have a question. I saw that DJ Khaled, RZA, all these big rap celebrities were on the show. Who was the hardest and toughest on the contestants?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. Actually, probably T.I. Without question, it was T.I. And, you know, when you see, that's actually our first episode next Tuesday is the Atlanta competition. You're going to see T.I. and DJ Drama as the celebrity judges with us. T.I. was all over these contestants. He was not in a forgiving mood whatsoever. So when they came up there, he expected them to be absolutely excellent, or he was going to let them have it. That's a great question, though. So definitely watch it, because you'll see T.I. unloads on them.
Nice. What about among you guys? Is there like an enforcer? Is there like a harder one of the three, four of you guys?
You know, I think what it probably is that I'm probably the harshest in regards to, I'm looking at it more. I've got my business hat on this first and foremost, because I, you know, I'm the guy that owns the label that's given the record deal. So not only being the executive producer and one of the stars on it, I actually am the one cutting checks to them for the record label. So, you know, you've got Tech, who is all about the bars. He is all about the bars. He wants to see somebody that's authentic and a real MC. You've got Crook, who's looking out for the culture and is one of the best MCs of all time. So, and then from my standpoint, I'm basically being cutthroat business on this. I'm looking for somebody that has that it factor, that marketability. And, you know, if they've got, to me, the talent should be a given. It's got, the next level's got to be that it factor. And if they don't have it, I'm not interested.
Yeah. And then last question, because I'm a huge fan. I follow your stuff on Facebook and everything that you do. And how do you go from songs like Ashamed, you know, which is real classic hip hop, to your country stuff? Like, how do you switch those characters, or, you know, so to say?
Well, you know, from my perspective, a lot of it has to do with who I'm working with as far as producing is concerned. You know, so when you mention a song like Ashamed, you know, I had the good fortune of working with Jonathan Hay and King Tech, and then having DJ Revolution and everybody on that song, you know, and Crook brought an incredible rap to that song, an absolutely incredible rap. You know, so for me, when I'm writing, I'm not really writing to a genre. I, you know, play 12 different instruments. I write about 6 songs a day, and, you know, I just write. So I'll write a song, I'll write a hook, I'll put all the music together, and then whoever, you know, is producing it kind of determines whether or not it's hip-hop, whether it's rock, whether it's R&B, whether it's country. So, you know, I just decided when I was doing a lot of the stuff in regards to hip-hop, I wanted to put out some stuff that, you know, is passion for me as well, which I tend to have outside of hip-hop. I love rock, I love country, I love all genres. So I decided to kind of put it out there in the countryside. Now, you know, I had the good fortune of having a top 40 song a couple months ago in Nashville, A Little Bit of Us, and the new one out right now is Green Eyed Girl. So I appreciate you recognizing that.
Yeah, so that's great. So pretty much the same approach to all the different genres of recordings.
Same approach. I don't ever try to, like, stylize what I'm doing. I just write a song, and whoever's coming in to produce it, they end up flipping it around and making it what they want it to be in that genre.
Great. Well, I'm definitely going to tune in next week to One Shot, and thanks, guys, for letting me on the show.
You're very
welcome.
Thanks
for the great question.
From Louisville. Take care. Have a great rest of your day there. And thanks to all about everyone who's been calling in over this first half hour. It's been dynamite. Keep the call coming into our second guest coming up in the next half hour. Two more questions before I let you go, Mike. First of all, was there any restriction placed on subject matter? And secondly, what do you think about the timing of the premiere given Netflix coming out with The Get Down this past Friday?
Well, you know what? I mean, the timing as far as the TV show is concerned, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we ended up timing our show. BET wanted to put it out there at this time frame because they were looking to make sure that we could maximize the potential. So they were trying to slot it in between a lot of the new fall shows coming out and not having it just be stuck in the summertime. You know, we've got some of the biggest celebrity judges on the planet. This show has already had a groundswell before it was picked up by BET, so it's got a grassroots following already, so I'm real comfortable with where it's going to go from there. And then, you know, as far as subject matter is concerned, no, all bets were off. Anybody could come up and rap about anything that they wanted to. Now, everybody knew we weren't looking for a battle rapper. We weren't looking for somebody that we couldn't market and couldn't turn into a superstar. So, you know, if they wanted to come out and rap about something that was going to cater to a very small artist, that was their prerogative, but it probably also limits their ability to be picked.
One Shot. It's BET's new rap and hip-hop competition, and it all begins next Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Check your local listings for it. BET is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the show online, just go right to BET.com. That's BET.com. One Shot next Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. Mike Smith, executive producer, rap hip-hop star, as well as one of the key judges on the program. Thank you for making the time. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks to also everybody who called in. Good luck with the series. Hopefully, it's not just a one-season thing. It's not just a one shot. It's a shot that keeps on going year after year. We appreciate you coming on.
Hey, man, thanks for all that. I really appreciate you taking the time. It was a great half hour. Thank you.
You're welcome. Pleasure. Stay cool. Take care.
All right. Take care, man. Bye-bye.
Mike Smith, joining us live from Charlotte, North Carolina. We'll have our classic trivia question, our second guest, coming up after these words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're an inside Amy Schumer fan, and who isn't, particularly in light of the fact that she's up for a bunch of Emmy Awards coming up next month, you might like to know that her wonderful book, The Girl with the Lower Back Tattoo, is now available as an audiobook. And you can get it right now by becoming a trial subscriber to Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information, all digitally, with over 180,000 titles to choose from, including Amy Schumer's new The Girl with the Lower Back Tattoo, which she narrates for you. And with those 180,000 titles to choose from, you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. So if you sign up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of the service. And with Amazon.com running the show, the customer service is top of the universe. So check out the world of digital audio entertainment, information, inspiration right now. Just go to this website and make it go. Audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. And discover for yourself why Audible.com is the sound leader. This is Tomorrow We Televised. We own the program All About the Two. We are with you Mondays and Fridays, 3:00 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And coming up a week from Wednesday, we'll have a special 9-day edition. That's on August 24th, including not one, but two 2016 Emmy Award nominees. The cinematographer of Fox's Gotham, Crescenzo Tonari, and director from Veep, Dale Cern. Plus, rescheduled from this past Friday, the popular Pittsburgh Post-Gazette television critic, Rob Owen. It's all coming up on a special edition of Tomorrow We Televised, a week from Wednesday. It's August 24th at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televised. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, and you'll meet a very special new filmmaker on the TV scene. His name is Moses Verneau, and he may be the new Orson Welles of television thanks to a new series called Money and Violence, which is making its mark tomorrow on smart TV sets smart devices, and video on demand. You will hear Moses live from Brooklyn after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best home of internet radio around, www.blogtalkradio.com, more than 25 million listeners around the world every month. And growing. It's your home for the TFG Unplugged Show. And it gets unplugged today at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Best VTR 24/7 as well. You can find it at YouTube.com. Welcome to the second half of this Suave Televised Hour for Monday afternoon of 2016. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment for our next guest, you know where to ring it. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. And we've got a chat room you can use, too. It's SimonApple04 by name. Rick Webb, our good friend from Philadelphia, in the room. And coming up later this half hour, we'll give you another chance at our current Classic Trivia Question of the Week. If you know the correct answer and are first with it, you can win the wonderful book, Twin Peaks FAQ, published by Applause. 75 years ago, a multi-talented person coming out of New York radio and theater made the move to the other coast, to Hollywood, and he made a film called Citizen Kane as the producer, the director, the co-writer, and the star. His name is Orson Welles. And 75 years later, many people still believe that Citizen Kane is the best American film ever made. Maybe 75 years from now, the person you are about to hear may be referred to in television-wise in exactly those terms as a brilliant, brilliant TV maker. We will start finding out tomorrow when the TV series he made, originally posted on YouTube, called Money and Violence, makes its TV premiere through Lionsgate on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and video on demand, possibly through cable and satellite. The program is Money and Violence, already two seasons worth on the air, and the person you're about to hear is the producer, the writer, the director, the main star. He financed the first season on his own, and he crowdfunded the second. Joining me live here in Brooklyn, New York, Moses Verneau. Moses, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Simon.
How did you come up with not just the idea of Money and Violence, but the willingness to say, I'm going to make this happen?
The idea for the show just came up with the, from the yearning to actually give the world a more in-depth look at a group of people that I believe have been misrepresented on screen, and the ambition to see the whole project through just came from, you know, trying to make something happen, trying my hand at something new.
What kind of experience, either making film or trying to make television, did you have before you took on this project?
That's the funny thing. I didn't have any experience at all. I had never stepped foot behind a camera. I had never directed. I had never acted before. This was literally like a leap into the dark.
Mm-hmm. And how did you find the leap initially?
How did I fund it?
Find it and then fund it.
Oh, I funded it straight out of my pocket. You know, I had purchased a camera, a Canon 5D DSLR camera, and I had purchased a Sennheiser mic. The entire series, the first season, was shot with one camera and one mic. And I did all of the editing on my desktop at home. Even editing, I was new to. I had never edited before. I learned how to edit off of YouTube tutorials.
Many people who've seen Money and Violence, Moses, refer it to The Wire. Was that the inspiration, or was that sort of a guidepost in terms of what you wanted to do, that landmark HBO series?
For one, I'd like to say I've heard those comparisons a lot, and I was flattered by the comparison only because The Wire was a show that I loved so much. But I think The Wire and Money and Violence are two totally different shows, only because in The Wire you have a group of guys in Baltimore who are fighting for power. They're fighting for control of the drug trade in Baltimore, whereas in Money and Violence, you have a group of people who are just trying to survive.
And when you decided to take this on, Moses, what did you want to say about Brooklyn? What did you want to say about its people, its culture or subculture, not just the people in the borough itself, but everyone else outside it?
I just wanted to give the world a more in-depth look and an opportunity to get to know a group of people that under normal circumstances they might cross the street to avoid. Society labels these people as the bad guy, but, you know, they're just people that live by a by any means necessary type of mindset. Crime is not done because people like to do it. It's something that's done out of necessity. So it was my attempt at not justifying their acts, but just hoping to give the world a look to the point where they'll say, you know what, I don't agree with it, but I get it.
A lot of us have heard the story of Robert Townsend, the writer, producer, director of such films as Hollywood Shuffle and The Five Heartbeats, who was able to get that first film made on like a budget of $1,000, mostly using credit cards. Was that a similar situation with you in terms of getting this finance, of getting this film money-wise made?
Yes, very much so. The first episode ran me probably a little over $1,000 per episode. That spanned over 7 months, our first season, because it was 25 episodes. So I definitely scrambled to be able to make that happen.
And this is not like 25, like 1 2-minute, 3 minute shorts. These are like full-fledged, like 20, 25-minute, half-hour episodes.
Yeah, the first 23 episodes are about half an hour, and the last two season finale episodes are an hour each.
What we're talking about is money and violence. And starting tomorrow, Lionsgate is going to release this remarkable series entirely shot in Brooklyn on smart TV sets, on smart TV devices like Roku, Google Chromecast, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Shield, et cetera, as well as the video on demand available on cable and satellite systems all over the country. We've got the person who made it happen as writer, director, actor, producer, and self-financer, Moses Bruneau. He joined us live from Brooklyn, New York this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum here with you live right here on Blog Talk Radio. 90 degrees the top of the hour. We are in day 5 of an excessive heat alert. It's been really crazy the last 5 days with the heat index rising and in some spots above 110 degrees. So again, if you're in an area, by the way, that has the heat going on, please take it easy. If you're going out, take extra time, drink plenty of liquids and fluids, check in on the loved ones, stay with us here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll keep the company throughout the day, and we will get through this together. By the way, I want to give, while we have a chance, a shout-out to everybody who is dealing with the horrendous flood activity in Louisiana, especially the first responders, who over the last 48 hours have had more than 20,000 rescues. It is absolutely way above and beyond the call of duty. And you have our thoughts, our prayers, our gratitude. And to everyone in Louisiana, hang in there. It is going to get better. We know you are suffering and suffering hard, so do the best you can. And again, to all the first responders, keep doing what you're doing. You are just performing marvelous service above and beyond the call of duty. If you have a question or comment for Moses, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it on our homepage at blogtalkradio.com/televised, and Rick Webb, our good friend from Philadelphia, is in the room. Moses, how did you get people to come to your vision and invest in it? How do you get people, some of whom I'm sure you have never met on the streets, to say, be part of my thing, trust me, I know what I'm doing, I know the message, I know what kind of TV show I want to make?
Well, when we first started the show, the first four main characters that we started with are my closest friends, actually. So when I came to them with the idea, you know, and I said, because at first the idea was to make a feature film, and it wasn't until a little later that I decided to make it a web series. When I came to them, you know, they just believe in me. They've always believed in me for as long as I've known them, and they know that I always have good intentions. So they were just ready to rock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as time went on, how did you get the people outside your community of friends to join in?
Well, believe it or not, the entire cast is actually friends or friends of friends. By the time we got halfway through the first season, as you can imagine, finding new cast members wasn't really a problem because our buzz was growing and the notoriety of the show was getting pretty big. So people were actually online to get casted. But at the beginning, you know, I did have quite a few people who didn't really fall through, who either didn't show up on days that we were supposed to shoot. and they're actually kicking themselves in the behind now.
Tell us about the character you played. His name is, I believe it's Rafe or Rafe. I'm not sure what the pronunciation is, so I apologize if I'm getting it wrong.
Right.
But what was your character? What was your character like? How did you shape him as you were doing this show?
Rafe is a very seasoned veteran of the streets. He's a very intelligent guy, but the conflict with him is the fact that he's so intelligent and so wise, but at the same time, he's very lost because as intelligent as he is, he shouldn't be involved in the streets. So that's the conflict with that character.
And how about the other characters? Miz, who's played by Renee Gersey, Kane, who's played by Nana Wood Napoleon, Shane, played by Kendo Hammond, and the rest.
Well, the funny thing about Shane, Miz, and Rafe, Shane, Miz, and Rafe are all the same person at three different stages of their lives because all three of them, in age, they differ by about 10 years each. Shane is about 20. Miz is about 30, Rafe is about 40. And they're actually the same person at three different stages in their lives. And it's basically to display how a person can develop on the streets from an innocent child all because of environment into something totally different.
Now, the second season, you crowdfunded. How did you get involved in the crowdfunding process? What website was Kickstarter, Indiegogo did you use, and how much did you raise?
We crowdfunded through the platform Seed and Spark. I had heard so much about crowdfunding. I had no idea that it was so much work, in all honesty, because we literally had to run a campaign with our crowdfunding. We had a consultant that actually helped us. We had conference calls every single morning to make a plan of attack, to basically put together what it was that we would post, what we would focus on our social media, because our crowdfunding, the promotion was done strictly on social media. But the crowdfunding campaign was something that definitely taught me a lot, because like I said, it's literally a 24-hour job. You know, for 60 days or forever, how long you're running that campaign. A lot of people think that, you know, you just get a Kickstarter or you get a Seed and Spark and you post one or two times on your social media. But if you're looking to be successful with that campaign, it takes much, much, much more work than that. Originally, our goal was $250,000. Then halfway through our campaign, we realized that it was very likely that we weren't going to hit that goal. So we brought that goal down to $100,000. And we reached 91% of goal.
So about $90,000.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds like Seed and Spark, unlike other situations, even though you didn't raise the full amount, they allow you to keep the money that you do raise.
Yes, that's the reason why we did go to Seed and Spark, because as long as you hit 85%, no, it's 80% as a matter of fact. Your project is greenlit, which is basically means that you'll get the money that was raised. Also, Seed and Spark allows you in-kind donations. So, you know, like with the $100,000 we were shooting for, if we needed, let's say if we needed $5,000 for catering, they allow a catering company or a restaurant to actually say, we'll provide you that service. So they take in-kind donations as well. And I believe that they're the only crowdfunding platform that allows you to do that.
You may end up being the poster TV project for them, because Seed and Spark is now doing this project called New Voice Crowdfunding Rally, which is trying to get a bunch, not just one, but a bunch of new television series off the ground. And they're doing it with Series Fest, the TV festival that's been operating in Denver the last 2 years. We had one of the key people at Seed and Spark on our program a few weeks ago. You can find that on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or the podcast version on iTunes. And we're staying in touch with them to see how that goes. How did Lionsgate get in the picture?
Lionsgate got in the picture through the production company that I had signed to for season two, which was Ish Entertainment. So they got involved through Michael Hirshhorn, who's the head of that company.
Mm. does it blow your mind that a company like that, that has helped get so many classic television series like Mad Men and Orange the New Black, that seems to want to work with everybody, including YouTube Red, which is the subscription service now of YouTube doing original scripted television, that they, in many respects, this is the most unique project of television that Lionsgate has ever put on. They have never done something like this.
Yeah, you know, I cannot stress how fortunate I am. For someone who's never had a background in film, who's never had a background in television, to just literally wake up one day and decide to do a film project and for it to be recognized and become the phenomenon that it has become. I mean, I feel blessed.
How did I get to YouTube?
You said, how did I get to YouTube?
How did the project get to you? How did Money Rounds get to YouTube?
Oh, well, I wanted to, because see, when I first did the project, my concern wasn't really money. My concern at first was just as much exposure as possible. And what greater platform, you know, than YouTube that allows you to basically put your project out there, you know, for the world to see. So that's why I chose YouTube.
Are you surprised that YouTube Red has not picked up the series? Because it seems to me that would have been a natural place to expand the distribution.
Well, we really didn't shop anything for them. Like we left it in the hands of Lionsgate. Pretty early on, we knew that we had interest from Lionsgate. Aside from them, there was interest from Sony. There was interest from Endemol as well, but we chose to go with Lionsgate.
We're speaking with an incredible talent named Moses Bruneau. He is the producer, writer, director, lead star of Money and Violence. He's done two seasons worth of it. First one, self-finance. Second one, crowdfunds and Steven Spark. And tomorrow, it goes full blast on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and video on demand through Lionsgate. Moses joins us live from Brooklyn, New York this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Applebaum here with you live also from that very, very area right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a question or comment for Moses, give him a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. Remember, our next episode is this Friday, and it comes on earlier than normal. Remember the special start time, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. That's noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 90-minute edition. We'll be joined by Jason Ehrlich. He's the executive producer of the new NBC travel series, Better Late Than Never, that brings together William Shatner, Henry Winkler, Terry Bradshaw, and George Foreman on a unique bucket list trip to Asia. Wait till you see what they encounter. Then, from the famous family of producer and directors, the Tinker family, we've got John Tinker, the executive producer of the new Hallmark Channel series that premiered last night. That's Chesapeake Shores. And our annual wonderful interview with the executive director of the New York Television Festival, coming aboard for season 12, late October, our good friend Terrence Gray. And wait till you hear what they're going to be doing this time around. It's all coming up this Friday, special time, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Moses, of the different things you had to do, we have a call coming up, we'll take in a second. What was the toughest challenge, writing, directing, acting, or producing?
I would say probably producing. Probably.
Why?
Learning the editing, the acting, the writing, and the directing, it all came pretty organically and naturally. The editing is the only thing that I actually had to really learn, you know, because like I said, I learned it myself off of YouTube tutorials. So learning the Adobe Premiere Pro CX 6 program, learning to do the special effects, that was pretty much the toughest challenge.
All right, let's take our call. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, happy Monday afternoon to you. You're on the line with Moses Bruneau of Money and Violence. Go right ahead.
Hey, Moses. Congratulations on all your success so far. And what I'm
wondering is
there anything like looking backwards that maybe you regret, or like a big roadblock or something that you do differently, like possibly looking for funding for the first year instead of waiting for the second year, or whether that wouldn't have happened and you got to do the first year to get fans to actually give up the money for the second year?
Yeah, I think with our crowdfunding campaign, I think the fact that we already had an audience played a huge part in our campaign being as successful as it was. Also as well, I love that, because if you watch the first episode of the first season, you can see through the production that I really had no idea what I was doing, because I didn't know what color correction was till like episode 12. So as you watch the first season, as we go from episode 1, episode 2, along the season, you can see the production getting better. You can see the learning curve. So I think it just gave the project more character, the fact that you watch us get better at acting, you watch the editing get better, you watch the production get better, you watch the direction of the storyline grow. So I think that's just, that whole thing encompasses the whole backstory of the show, and I believe that's a huge part of what also gave it its character.
Oh, cool. So it's like the fans felt like they were growing with you, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, continued success, man, and hope you get a season 3, and hope you start making some big money off this. So congrats.
Thank you so much. That is so well appreciated.
Absolutely. Thanks, Simon.
You're welcome, Rick. Thanks for the call. Take care. Stay cool out there in Philly. Rick Rubber, good friend from Philadelphia, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Moses, when will season 3 happen?
Right now, we are currently locking in a showrunner. It's an entire process. After we lock in the showrunner, then we'll be seeing which direction we're going to go with season 3. Then we'll have to take network meetings to decide where we're actually going to go, because season 3 is supposed to be on premium cable. So hopefully you'll be watching season 3 on HBO, Showtime, Stars, or maybe Netflix.
Well, Lionsgate's going to try to get Stars. They got the deal to merge with them, so that may be a way. Stars may be a very good possibility.
Yeah, definitely.
Any plans to showcase this at any of the TV festivals, like New York, like Series Fest in Denver, ITVS up in Vermont, the North Fork Festival, which happens this coming Saturday? Is that a possible showplace or events like that for your series?
It would be. At the moment in time, I kind of have my hands full, because aside from this, with my new production company, Intellectual Property, I just scored a deal with Revolt TV. So I'm actually working on 2 other shows as well. So my hands are pretty full at the moment, juggling all of that.
And what are the other 2 shows you're working on, and are you going to keep Brooklyn your home base?
Well, one show is actually a podcast with 2 rappers, with Uncle Murder and Mano, called Brooklyn Boys. And the other show is actually a comedy. The title of it is My Love Life According to Social Media.
I think we have an Orson Welles of television certainly in play here, ladies and gentlemen. At least I hope you think that after what you have heard this last half hour. The program is called Money and Violence, and starting tomorrow, Through Lionsgate is available on smart TV sets, smart TV devices like Roku, Google Chromecast, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, etc., and also in some markets, possibly on video on demand, on cable and satellite. If you want more details about the program online, here's where you go. OwnMoneyAndViolence.com. It's OwnMoneyAndViolence.com. And if you want to see the trailer for the series, go to Vimeo.com. That's Vimeo.com for the trailer. Own Money and Violence for all details about the series and when season 3 will go into production. Producer, writer, director, star, financer, mogul, Moses Bruneau, thank you very, very much for joining us. It has been a delight. Congratulations on what you've accomplished so far, and hopefully this is just the beginning of a tremendous career in television for you.
Thank you so much for having me, Simon.
It's a pleasure, Moses. You're welcome back anytime. All the greatest. Take care and stay cool.
All right, you do the same.
Will do. Moses Bruneau joining us live from Brooklyn, New York. Before we leave you, it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. We are holding over the question that we brought you last Monday in play. And if you're first with the correct answer, you can win the new book, Twin Peaks FAQ, published by Applause. Dragnet, the radio series, launched in the late 1940s. Our question, in what year did Dragnet launch on television? In what year did Dragnet, the famed TV series, launch on television? I'll give you one hint.
It wasn't in the 1940s, and it wasn't in the 1960s, so it narrows it down quite a bit. If you're first with the correct answer, you can win 20 FAQ published by Applause. How do you do it? You email the answer, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and your mailing address. You can also use Twitter, #TWBT. That's Twitter, #TWBT. And that Twitter option made available by Hopscotch. The folks invite you to create your own social soundtrack. You can learn how at hopscotch.com. If you just came in late for the questions, don't worry. I will post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and my own Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, to be in and win, you got to be in the first place. So be part of the program. Be part of the competition and all the very best. Friday on Tomorrow Show Live, remember, we come to you 3 hours earlier than normal. That's going to be noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Joining us will be Jason Ehrlich, the executive producer of the new NBC travel series, Better Late Than Never. John Tinker, the executive producer of the new Hallmark Channel series that debuted last night, Chesapeake Shores. And our good friend with his annual interview for us, the executive director of the New York Television Festival, Terrence Gray. If you came in on today's program late, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And don't forget, check out our podcast version. It's always available at iTunes.com and on the Apple TV iTunes podcast app. You get it from an Apple store, or you can order online. And by the way, we congratulate Apple on their brand new stores in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and the brand new store opening tomorrow is part of the new World Trade Center shopping complex. We love hearing from you, and that's why we want to get you involved in the action. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Love to know what you thought about our guest today, and also what you think about where TV is at and where it's going. We appreciate what you have to say. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Coe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator of this very enterprise, Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Tell Lies was brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. For Tomorrow We Tell Lies, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday. Stay as cool as you can. We'll be back with you toward the end of the week, Friday, special time, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, be safe and be great out there. That's what it's all about. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.